Amen. Well, let's do that. Let's shout out our praise to God right now. Woo! All right, you can have a seat. Thank you so much. You know, that sentiment is so important for us today because like never before, our culture is fragmented. And believers, followers of Jesus, we've been caught up in it. For several years, because of this pandemic, we've just been isolated from one another. And because of the political situation, we've been kind of divided from one another. And rather than God's word and God's truth defining who we are, we've been pulled into the culture. And that will just suck the joy right out of us. I shared with the service last week, I'm finishing up a doctoral program and taking a course in, it's called cultural apologetics, which is basically analyzing secular culture and how we share the gospel in the midst of secular culture. Do you know the number one feature of secularism is what's defined as the sovereignty of the self? Everything's about me. And when you make everything about you, rather than that satisfying you, it just leaves you empty. And when we as believers make everything about us, rather than that actually fulfilling us, it leaves us empty. Rather than giving us joy, it takes the joy away from us. So when we sing a song like there's joy in the house of the Lord, what that reminds us of is that the source of real joy, going back to the old hula hoop and circle illustration, the source of real joy is in the Lord. And if you have been thinking about these messages that we've been sharing with you these past several weeks out of the book of Philippians, they really come back to two themes: joy in our personal relationship with Jesus and joy in our relationships with one another. Joy in our personal relationship with Jesus and joy in our relationship with one another. If we're living out here, there may be momentary happiness, but there's not lasting joy. If we're trying to put one foot in the circle, so to speak, of joy, but the other foot in the world, that's not going to give us joy. The only way we have joy is by really finding it in the Lord. We saw when we first began, we looked at all those scriptures. There's like over 300 verses in the Bible that talk about joy and rejoicing, and they all have to do with our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with one another. And when we live our lives in that center, we're in the circle, that's when we can really have joy. That's why there's joy in the house of the Lord. This morning, as we continue in our study in Philippians, we're going to look at the sixth joy principle that is revealed in the book of Philippians. And it's all about influencing other people for Jesus. That's the principle. We find joy when we give ourselves to help other people grow in their relationship with Jesus. When we will intentionally seek to bless and pray and encourage and mentor other people in their growth in Christ, we find joy. It's all about being an influencer. So I thought about that whole idea of being an influencer, and I just typed it in terms of the internet and did a Google search. And what came up was different than what I thought. Because what came up was this term influencer that's popular in our culture. Some of you know about it, maybe some of you don't. But there is a term, an influencer, that relates to social media. And there's a definition given. It says this: an influencer is a person who uses social media and has established credibility for a specific industry. Social media influencers have access to a large audience and can persuade others by virtue of their authenticity and reach. And since the rise of social media marketing, influencers have become a major trend. These are ordinary people who have an earned substantial following due to their expertise and transparency. They're being used more and more by companies to grab the attention of millennials, as this group is less receptive to traditional marketing techniques. Brands purposely seek out influencers who create content that subtly pushes a product or a service. So somebody who has a lot of followers on social media can become an influencer, and companies will actually pay them to kind of promote their brand or their product. Now, the concept is super simple, and it illustrates the spiritual point that the Bible tells us because, okay, now, and I know you're a really bright audience, so I'm not going to try to trick you with this question. What do influencers do? They influence. Influencers influence. Through different terms, what the Bible says about every follower of Jesus Christ is that we're influencers, and we get to influence people for Jesus. And what Philippians says, if we will do that, if we will live out our identity and our calling as influencers, influencing people for Jesus, we get joy. Joy now and joy for all eternity. In fact, it's amazing how this principle is developed in Scripture. Let me see if I can illustrate this. Let's look at some scriptures, and this is just seeing the joy principle. What we basically said is there's seven joy principles in the book of Philippians. Here's the sixth joy principle, that we find joy in influencing others for Christ. This principle is not only found in Philippians, it's found in a couple other scriptures. I want to read them and then make some comments about them and then talk about how we can actually influence people and find joy. All right? So Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says this, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ," that's very much better, "yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. And convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." So Paul says, hey, to live is Christ, and what that means is labor. To go and be with Jesus in heaven, well, that's the best. But if I'm going to stay alive, it means I'm going to be an influencer, and I'm going to live for other people's spiritual progress and joy. And that joy gets reciprocated back to me, because he says in Philippians 4:1, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters," these very people that he was seeking to influence for their progress and joy, "my beloved brothers and sisters, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved." See, Paul has given himself away as an influencer for Christ so that other people could experience joy in their relationship with Christ. But what was it that he received from doing that? He received joy. They were actually his joy. He says the same thing over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, "For who is our hope or joy or crown of pride in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not indeed you? You are our glory and our joy." Now Paul says, you're not only our joy now, but as I think about meeting Jesus at some point in the future, and I anticipate what that is going to be like stepping into heaven, you're my joy, my crown, because I'm going to stand there with you, and because God used me to bless you, I'm going to receive, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so you're actually going to be my joy at the coming of Jesus and into eternity. So when we invest our lives in this idea of helping other people in their relationship with Jesus Christ, it gives us joy now. It gives us an anticipated joy when we meet the Lord. It gives us an eternal joy that we're going to take with us into heaven. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 3, 7 to 9, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith." So the context, he says, in all of our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you. So Paul's physical, environmental, economic circumstances, distress and persecution. Can anybody say amen? "For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" So here's Paul, because he's in the circle of joy. He's finding his joy in the Lord. He's blessing other people. He's seeking to influence other people for Christ, and that's giving him joy. Circumstantially, not good. This stuff was outside of his control. But because he was intentionally serving others and helping others grow in their walk with Jesus, he had joy. Every person here, I can guarantee you, there are things in your life that are outside of your control. And they might be the kind of things that are just sucking the life out of you or causing you to worry. are causing you to feel stress. Maybe it's the economy, or maybe it's the political situation, or maybe it's a medical situation in your family, or maybe it's something very unique to you and your just perception of what's going on. There's circumstances you can't do anything about, and if you obsess on those circumstances, it will rob you of joy. But you know what you can do? What I can do, you can do, we can all do? We can stay in this circle, like Paul, to live as Christ and die as gain, and we can commit ourselves to serve others, especially trying to help others in their relationship with Christ, influence people. And you know what God says we'll gain out of that? Joy. Joy now, anticipated joy when we meet Jesus, eternal joy that we'll have in heaven because we're seeking to be influencers of others for Christ. John says this in 3 John. So you got the Gospel of John, then 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. In 3rd John, the apostle says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my spiritual children are walking in the truth. As a parent, if you're a parent, you if your kids are doing okay, you got some joy going, right? If your kids are flourishing, you got great joy. John, like a spiritual parent, is saying, when I hear that my spiritual children, the people that I am praying for and sharing God's word with and pastoring and encouraging and wanting to see follow Jesus, when I hear that they're walking in the truth, I have no greater joy than that. See, this is a biblical principle that we can step into. We may not be able to do anything about some of the stuff in our lives that are outside of our control, but we can be in the circle of God's joy by obeying this spiritual principle and asking God to use us to be an influencer on other people's lives to follow Jesus. It'll give us joy. It'll give us joy today, and it'll give us joy for all eternity. You see, it's like a couple that's engaged. Last night we had our Marriage Matters gathering, which we had a great event. The fellowship center was filled with couples, and there was one engaged couple there. And it made me think about being engaged. When you are engaged, you're so excited because you finally, as a guy, you finally pop the question, and she said yes. All right. And the reason you got engaged is because you love each other. And so there's joy in your relationship being engaged, but there's added joy because you're going to get married. You're not just dating, you're going to get married. And you can anticipate that wedding day, and then you can anticipate a life together. So there's a joy that intensifies. That's the kind of joy you see that we have as servants of Christ because we invest our lives, we serve other people, we try to seek to influence other people in their relationship with Jesus. There's a joy just in that connection, but there's an anticipated joy that Paul talks about when he says, when I stand before God, you're my joy and my crown. There's a joy that we have when we seek to influence other people for Christ because we understand it's actually related to a bigger picture of what God's doing in the kingdom. When I was a college student, I was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ crew, and the person who discipled me, mentored me, was the campus director. And I remember going over to his apartment the first time, and his wife lived in an apartment next to the campus, and on his big wall on his campus was a board, and it said at the top, a vision board. And in the middle of the board, took up the whole wall. His name was there, and then there were lines that went out to the names of people. And my name was one of the lines that went out to, because he was spiritually mentoring me. And then from all the people that he went out to were lines that went out and the names of other students that were being discipled or mentored by student leaders. And there were about 100 names on the board, and you could see it all multiply out. And when I saw that, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm a part of something that's bigger than me. So it wasn't just me being spiritually mentored and me spiritually mentoring the students that I had a little Bible study that I led, but it was like we were part of a larger movement, you see. And this is what the Bible's kind of casting this picture for us here, is that there is a larger kingdom movement that we're a part of. So we can get joy in our interpersonal connection, but our interpersonal connection connects out. And there's a joy that we get from that. We find joy when we seek to influence others for Christ. Because we're following Jesus, and we're following the example of Jesus, and we're following what the Bible says about how the message of Jesus kind of explodes out and connects with other people. This is just kind of God's bigger plan. So when we step into this circle to say, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain, and I want to follow Jesus and the example of Jesus by investing my life and serving other people and living to influence other people for Christ, it not only gives us joy and gives joy to the people that we are connected with, that expands. In fact, let me see if I can even illustrate it here. Dave Brodsky, how you doing, brother? Would you stand up? So Dave Brodsky is one of our elders, and he gives oversight to our missions program here at Crossline. So let me just ask you here, if you've ever been a part of one of our missions team, or in some way God has used Dave to influence you for Christ, would you just stand up right now? If God's used Dave in your life to influence you for Christ, okay? All you people, just stand up. Now, everyone, look around at everybody standing up now. So in the back, look at everybody standing up. Now, if God has used any of these people who are standing up to influence you in your relationship with Christ, would you stand up right now? So Dave, look around. Look around and see all the people that are being influenced for Christ because you're letting God use you to be an influencer for Christ. So Dave, right now, just how does that make you feel to see that God's using you like that? So what's my point? There's a point that God does this spiritual multiplication, exponential type ministry, but the point is, when it comes back to Dave thinking about it, oh my gosh, that gives him joy. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying, is when I think about how God is using me in your life, that gives me joy. And then to think about how God's using you in the life of somebody else and using that person in the life of somebody else and using that person in the life of someone else, all because God used me in your life, it gives me joy now. It gives me anticipated joy when I stand before Jesus when he comes back, and it's going to give me joy through all eternity. If you want to have a joy that the world cannot take away, that the economy cannot defeat, that sickness cannot destroy, invest your life in people. Become an influencer, because it is a way that God has designed to give us joy, to fill our lives with joy. Because when it really comes down to it, this is what really matters: God and people. That's it. It's God and people. Friday, when we were having our Thanksgiving party for the people in the community, largely through our food pantry, Lewis asked me to come out, and I was just, sure, of course, and I just walked around talking to people, and then when we prayed over the meal, I just shared with everyone. I said, thank you for giving us the privilege of being able to serve you. Because I said, you know, you can take the entire Bible, because this is what Jesus did, and bring it down to two things. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Amen. And we are never more like Jesus than when we're loving our neighbor. And you are never more loving your neighbor than when you're helping your neighbor grow as a follower of Jesus, either getting to know Jesus or take steps in following Jesus. It's all about that kind of love. And Jesus said, if we'll do that, you see, not only does it have that effect of worshiping God and blessing people, it gives us joy. There's joy in investing our lives to influence other people, to be followers of Jesus Christ. So let me give you five suggestions of how we do that, coming straight out of the scriptures. Five ways that we can actually influence people for Christ and find joy. Here's the first one. There's joy in praying for others. There's joy in praying for others. We unpacked this several weeks ago, right out of Philippians. Philippians 1:3-5 says this, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul says, I pray with joy for you. When we pray for people, we're having a spiritual influence on them. Because when we pray, we're asking the God of the universe to work in that person's life. When we pray, we are literally, through our prayers, opening up heaven to come down into another person's experience. And so there is a spiritual influence we can have in praying for people. And the reciprocation of that is that we get great, great joy over it. So I would suggest that we not only pray for people, but we let them know that we're praying for them. Last Sunday, we had a prayer gathering here at the church for Tim Brooks, another one of our elders, and I would really encourage you as a congregation to be praying for Tim and his family. Tim is fighting cancer, and he's in the hospital right now, and he needs a miracle, and we've been praying for him. And let me pray for Tim right now. Yeah. Father, we intercede for our brother together as a whole church. We pray that his body would respond to this treatment. We pray, God, that you would take away all infection, all sepsis. God, you would heal him completely. I pray you'd take away the cancer. I pray, dear God, that you'd raise Tim up. He'd be strong and healthy and strong in the name of the Lord. And I pray for Kim and Hudson and Brinkley that your joy would fill their lives, your peace, supernatural faith, God. Cover them and lift them up. Lord, work in our brother's life right now, in his body right now, and raise him up to good health. And we agree and ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We had a prayer gathering for Tim, and I was walking back to my car, and one of the women in our church who was at the prayer gathering came up to me and said, the Lord really put you on my heart to pray for you. And I thanked her, which I really appreciate when people pray for me and when they let me know that they prayed for me. And then she said, well, let me tell you what I prayed for, because I felt like God spoke to me and to say a specific prayer for you. And she shared it with me, and it was very meaningful to me. And in fact, I later asked her, would you send an email out, what it was exactly, because there was some scripture related to the prayer that she had for me. And it encouraged me. In fact, I have it right here in my Bible, because I've been reading over the prayer that she prayed for me and the scriptures. And I've been asking God, what does that mean? And how do you want to work that out in my life? It blessed me, and I wanted to bless her because she prayed for me, you see. In fact, some of us here are taking this prayer training, Novo Prayer Cohort, and one of the things that we've been growing and trying to discern in our prayers is called listening prayer, where rather than just say out what it is you're praying for, stop and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about how you should pray. In fact, when we had a prayer time last Sunday at the end of the service, and Pastor Kenny led us in praying for people, I said, I'm going to do that. And so as people came up and asked for prayer, I just said, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me about how I should pray for you. Is that okay? And everyone said, of course, yeah. And one couple in particular came up for prayer. And when I and they shared the prayer requests that they had, and I asked the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I mean, clearly, God impressed me with Psalm 139 and what's written in Psalm 139 about how we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God knew us in our mother's womb, and he knew all the days that have been ordained for us, and that we don't have to worry about anything because God has us in his hands. He knows everything about it, and he's never going to leave us. And that scripture came to my mind, and so I prayed through that scripture and shared that. And it was a joy for me because I felt like I was praying in line with what the Holy Spirit was telling me to pray for. What's my point? My point is this. We have joy when we influence other people for Christ, we encourage other people spiritually. And one of the ways that we do that is by praying for people. And so when we pray for people, let's let them know that we're praying for them. Let's actually pray with them and bless them. It's one of the ways that we influence other people for Christ. So joy in praying for others. Here's a second way that we influence others for Christ. Joy in sharing our hearts and lives with others. Joy in sharing our hearts and lives with others. This is what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2. He said, "We cared for you the way a mother cares for her children. We loved you dearly, not content just to pass on the message of the gospel. We wanted to give you our hearts, and we did." I love that, especially when I think about the Apostle Paul. You know, sometimes you read about these people in the Bible and you get a mental picture of who they are, what they're like. And my picture of the Apostle Paul is kind of like this type A guy who's fearless, right? And who just kind of comes on, it's beat him and bust him. That's our custom. That's the style that he has. And then when I read about Paul having this tender heart, excuse me, and wanting to just share his heart with people, it humanizes him, right? When we share our hearts with people, that's when we really connect with people. And so one of the ways that we influence people spiritually is taking whatever level of relationship that we have and kind of moving it up to the next level where we're actually sharing more of our real self. Psychologists kind of tell us that there's five levels of intimacy, you know, in a relationship, whether it's a marriage or a friendship or a parent-child relationship. There's safe communication level, that's level one, just talking about stuff going on in the world. There's opinions and beliefs, where you share openly about what your opinions and beliefs are a thing, that's level two. Level three is more your personal opinions and beliefs, what you personally feel about things. Level four is where you start to share your feelings and experiences. And then level five is where you actually share your needs, your emotions, and your desires. Well, think about your relationships. Are they level one, level two, level three, level four, level five? Probably if you're like most of us, you have some relationships at each level. But if we're wanting to be influencers for Christ, to help other people follow Jesus, and in doing so, we find joy, then let's pray about how we take that relationship to the next level. If it's a level three, how do we move it to a level four? If it's a level four, how do we move it to a level five? Because the deeper the intimacy that we have with people, the deeper the heartfelt connection that we have with people, the greater the influence. I know a lot of us are part of a small group here at Crossline because we really believe in the value of relationships and the value of small discipleship groups. Jesus had a discipleship group, the 12 apostles. And this past fall, a lot of us got connected. We have had over 1,000 people connected into small groups. Well, one of the things that the pastors we were talking about when we met and talked about this passage and this concept, you know, a small group, you can be in a small group with people, even over a period of time, but it kind of hits a ceiling of intimacy and relationship. It's almost like you hit that and you stay there. So you might be meeting with people and you're in this small group and you could be meeting for some time, but it doesn't seem like you're really getting any more close with one another and having those deeper relationships of really influencing each other positively for Christ. Until somebody in that small group, maybe it's a couples group or a men's group or a women's group, but somebody decides to get real honest. And rather than just talking about whatever the curriculum topic is or whatever is going on in cursed events, they actually share what's going on in their life. I'm really struggling. My husband and I are about to call it quits. We're trying to take care of our parents, and it's just, we're just emotionally drained. We've got a child that has wandered away from the faith, and we just don't even know what to do about it. We're dealing with a medical situation, and we're frazzled. And all of a sudden, that ceiling, you just break right through it. Well, what happened? You went to a deeper level of emotional transparency and heart connection. And that's what Paul's talking about here as he writes to these folks at Thessalonica. He said, I didn't want to just give you the Bible. I wanted to give you my heart and my life as a context for sharing the message of the gospel. See, when we move deeper in relationship with people, we increase our influence. And when we increase our influence for Christ, what do we receive? Greater joy. Greater joy. It's this principle of influencing people for Christ and experiencing joy because of that. So here's a fourth, or here's a third way in which we influence people, by being an example that others can follow. By being an example. Paul says in writing to the church at Thessalonica, you paid careful attention to the way we lived among you, and you determined to live that way yourselves. In imitating us, you imitated the Master. Although great trouble accompanied the word, you were able to take great joy from the Holy Spirit. You took the trouble and the joy and the trouble. That's the Message translation. What Paul is saying is, when he came and shared the message with the believers at Thessalonica and they came to believe in Jesus, they followed his example. And it was in the midst of a lot of turmoil for them to be able to do it, but it gave them great joy in doing it. When we live a life that other people can follow, we influence them for Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. When we live in this circle, we're not perfect. It's not like everything that we say and do is holy, but our hearts are pure. We're trying to seek Jesus. We're trying to follow Jesus. We're living a life that we could, in all integrity, say, follow me as I follow Christ. When we live that way, it gives us joy. When we live this way with one foot in and one foot out, that doesn't give us joy, because we know that there's like hypocrisy in our lives. And when we know there's hypocrisy in our lives, it robs us of a sense of influence. But when we follow Jesus from a pure heart, and for us to live as Christ and die as gain, then we're living a way that we can say to other people, follow me as I follow Christ, and it gives us joy when they do it. Here's a fourth way that we can influence others for Christ and find joy. Joy in giving spiritual encouragement to others. Joy in giving spiritual encouragement to others. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 3, therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? When you are an encourager, that blessing goes both ways. Have you discovered that? When you're an encourager, people get blessed because you're encouraging them. But in seeing people get blessed, you get blessed. You have joy. We were talking about this as a pastors, and it was easy for us to think about how, you know, people, mentors and teachers and coaches in our lives have had an influence on us. And when you're in that role, how you're able to not only encourage others but get joy from the encouragement. I thought of it. I thought of a experience that I had several years ago when my son was 13. He played Pop Warner football, and I helped coach his Pop Warner football team. And these were all kids, 13, 14 years old, that were eighth grade. And some of them were good athletes, went on to play high school football. Some of them went on to play college football. And some of them weren't that good athletes. And there was one particular kid, really kind of a pudgy kid, not really athletic. And at the beginning of the football season, he could really only do one push-up. And a lot of the other kids could already start to do a bunch of push-ups. And so I kind of made helping him one of my projects as coaching the team. And so every time I could, I tried to encourage him. And every time he showed any kind of improvement in anything, I was like there, you know, being his biggest cheerleader. And the end of the football season, he could do 25 push-ups. Now, football season's over, and we have this banquet. And we gave out the awards, you know, to the most valuable player, most inspirational player. And of course, he didn't win any of those awards because he wasn't even one of our starters. The banquet's over and we're about ready to leave. And this 13-year-old kid comes up to me. And bless his heart, it was like he just wanted to express his kind of appreciation for me being his coach. And he just broke down and started crying. And he just kind of hugged me. And I kind of put my arms around him. And he was, "Coach Jones, thank you," you know. And I just thought, you know, I coached some great athletes here, and some of those kids went on to become high school athletes and college athletes, but this was much more significant because this young man felt affirmed and encouraged, and how do you think that made me feel? That made me feel like $1 million. That's how it feels. Let me just tell you, that's how it feels when you are in this circle and you obey Jesus and you serve others and you influence others for Jesus. When God uses you to encourage somebody for Christ's sake, it gives you joy. Joy now, joy when you meet Jesus, and joy for all eternity. One last idea here of how we can influence people and find joy. Joy in mentoring others to follow Christ. This is the actual spiritual mentoring, spiritual discipleship. Paul in 2 Timothy 1 says this, "I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." Paul is mentoring Timothy. Timothy was one of the young men that Paul was able to disciple. Timothy is pastoring the church at Ephesus, and Paul is writing to him, and he's talking about the fact that he wants to see him, he remembers him, he prays for him. He recalls his tears and he said, "I want to see you so that I can have joy." So Paul's the mentor, but he's the one getting joy out of the relationship. Why? Because he's seeing how God is using him. When you see how God uses you in another person's life to spiritually encourage them and influence them, it gives you joy. And one of the ways that we can do that is by being spiritual mentors or disciplers. Now, I don't believe that every person is called to disciple someone else in a very formal way. I believe every one of us is called to influence other people spiritually. And I do believe that some of us should be disciplers. There's some men and women in this church right now, in this congregation right now, God has built so much stuff into you that God wants you to pass it on to someone else. God wants you to be a Paul to another Timothy. God wants you to disciple someone, mentor someone, encourage someone, pour all that you've learned into them. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2, "The things that you've received from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful people who'll teach others also." There is that discipleship relationship that gives us great joy when we step into it. So let me close with just summary application. All right? The joy principle is simple. We stay in the circle. We find great joy when we seek to influence other people for Christ. What can we actually do? Leaving this message to put that into practice. Here's number one. Embrace our identity as a slave of Jesus Christ. Embrace our identity as a slave of Jesus Christ. Some of you might be saying, "What? I don't know. I've never seen that. What do you mean slave?" Well, most Bible translations translate the term doulos as servant. Some translate it the way it literally was used, as slave. We are slaves of Jesus Christ. See, we transferred ownership in our salvation. Outside of salvation, we were slaves to this world and we were slaves to sin. But when we received the gift of God in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins, we transferred ownership so that now we are slaves of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, embrace that identity. Because when you embrace that identity, you realize, I don't have rights anymore. I just have opportunities. I just have opportunities to obey my master. I just have opportunities to please my master. And so embrace your identity as a slave of Jesus Christ. Secondly, be proactive in praying for the believers that God has brought into your life. Every one of us has a sphere of influence. Every one of us has a network of relationships. And there are believers in our network of relationships. Those are people that God says, I want you to pray for these people. In Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, and pray in the Spirit with all prayer and petition, and pray for all the saints. Well, who are the saints that I can pray for? They're the people that I know, that I'm in some kind of relationship with. Who are the saints that you can pray for? They're the people that you know, that you're in some kind of relationship. When you begin to pray for people, you will have a spiritual influence on them and it's going to give you joy. Here's a third application. Take your relationships to a more heartfelt, transparent level. If you're in a friendship, if you're in a small group, don't wait for the other person to share their heart to make the relationship go to the next level. You take the initiative and share your heart. Because it's going to give you joy. Here's a fourth application. Be intentional in speaking words of spiritual encouragement. Be intentional. In fact, almost every one of us here has a little tool that we can use to do that. Got a smartphone, and you can just send a little text. There's a Bible app most of us access. You can put a scripture on there. I just got this little text just the other day from a friend of mine, Kenny, Pastor Kenny, and I have known him, friend back from UCLA. He just sent this to me. It says, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that's come from their lives. Follow the example of their faith, Hebrews 13:7. That's you, JP. Thank you so much for changing my life. I love you, Matt. He just took the initiative to speak some spiritual encouragement into my life. Real simple. We can do that with one. We can do that with our kids. We can do that with our spouses. We can do that with our friends in our small group. We can do that with one another in a church. Just words of spiritual encouragement. Here's a fifth thing that we can do, application. Ask God to reveal to you people for whom you are to be a mentor and initiate a discipleship relationship. Pray, ask God, say, is there somebody that I'm to mentor and be in a discipleship relationship with? And a sixth thing, become a discipler of disciplers. Step into that relationship in discipling people. Several years ago, I was speaking at a men's retreat, and I was speaking to the men. This was up at Forest Home, and I said, every guy here needs at least two men in your life. You need a Paul and you need a Timothy. I said, every guy here needs a Paul, someone who mentors you, and you need a Timothy, that's someone that you're mentoring. And I said, in fact, this is so important. This is what I want you to do. I want you to write down the names of people that you think God is impressing you with that ought to fill those roles for you. So if there's someone that you think ought to be a Paul for you, and mentoring you, write their name down. And if you think there's someone that you ought to be mentoring, write their name down and just start praying about it and see what God opens up. Because when we're in these kind of relationships of mentoring and mentee, we get encouragement, we get discipleship, we get joy. God helps us be the men we're supposed to be. About 3 weeks later, I get a call from a guy who was at that retreat. I just met him, and we start talking about men's ministry. And so I met with him, and we started meeting together, and then I ask him, let's have this ongoing relationship of meeting together and mentoring. And he said yes. And then sometime after that, I said, hey, I'd like you to actually come on staff with me and help me disciple men in our church. And he said yes. And sometime later, I said, God's leading me to start a church. Would you help me start Crossline Church? And he said yes. And it's Pastor Greg. And he told me that at that, which I didn't know, but at that conference where he was, because I didn't know him then, and he heard me speak about Paul and Timothy, he wrote my name down to be someone who would mentor him. And look what God's done in our friendship and relationship and in our church. You never know what God is going to do, but if you will step into the opportunity to influence someone else for Christ, this is what I can guarantee you will happen. It'll give you joy. It'll give you joy. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray right now for every person here, every person listening online, everyone out in the patio, that we'd say yes to you. We wouldn't obsess about those things in our lives that we don't have control over, but we'd yield our hearts to you, our lives to you, and we'd seek to be influencers for Christ. Jesus, I pray that all across this church, there'd be these one another relationships where people would be seeking to influence others for Jesus. And I pray you'd fill us with joy. In fact, I pray there'd be an explosion of joy in our church and in marriages and families and just across the board. Fill us up with joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in a season right now where we have the opportunity to bring a lot of joy to people. Pastor Kenny talked to us about some of these great opportunities that we can serve in our holiday outreaches. We've got some trees out on the patio that probably still have a few more ornaments on them that need to be taken down and put into opportunities for serving. We've got meals that we can provide for people. We have a celebration that we're going to have at our food pantry for Christmas. We're going to have an Oasis Christmas party. We're giving gifts to children in Haiti. And maybe just in your own neighborhood, there's ways that you can serve and bring joy to other people's lives. Let's put that into practice, and let's step out of our comfort zone and seek to influence other people for Jesus. God bless you. We'll see you next week.